So we are well on our way into summer now, and I've been on vacation for 3 weeks, and it feels like 5 years. I don't know how it's felt for you. I want to ask you all a question as we begin. Have any of you done a puzzle recently?
No.
That would have been my answer 3 weeks ago as well. So some of you, have you done it this summer? Have you recently done a puzzle? Oh, there's some hands. Okay. Have some of you put together some kind of Lego project? I thought maybe that would be more relevant than puzzle. Okay. So how many of you have ever come close to finishing a puzzle or finishing your Lego project and you discover that all your special pieces are missing? Has that ever happened to you? I'm asking for a friend. So that might have happened to you. I decided on my summer break to do a puzzle, and this is something I've not done in quite a few years. I thought it would be a great activity to do with my mom, to build relationship, to spend time with her, to enjoy some peace and quiet. And I set the table and I opened the box and I found all the corners and I flipped everything over. And then this guy swooped in. And he looks adorable. I've talked about this bird before, some of you. This is my pet bird. This is Liko. And this is an inherited pet. This was not my choice. So this is Liko. Liko is very loud, and Liko needs to be part of everything that we do in our home, and I didn't include him in my puzzle plans. He came flying into the room screaming, and what did he do? He landed on the puzzle pieces that I had just turned over and separated into color categories, and he skittered across the surface and started to panic. And while he was panicking, he was trying to grip the table, but then all he was gripping with his talons was more puzzle pieces. So the puzzle pieces were flying and there was wings flapping and it was just chaos as he skidded across the table. Nobody told him that he is a bird and that he can't do puzzles. So Liko made a mess. We searched the floor for scattered pieces and we reset the table and continued our project. Days later, when the puzzle was nearly complete, I counted what was left in the box and the number of gaps in the puzzle, and I knew that there was a problem. Sure enough, there is one piece missing. One gap that mars the image, the ultimate DNF of my summer. Vacation was spoiled. My inner perfectionist began raging. However, it was the next day after that when I could not believe my eyes. Liko had again landed on the nearly completed puzzle, but this time, instead of skittering across the surface, he landed with confidence and began chewing the surface off of every puzzle piece so that the image is now cut into shreds. Scraps and twirls of paper bits are now strewn along the edge of my table. So now I have a puzzle on my living room table that is missing one piece and has three pieces that are reduced to brown cardboard. They are missing the image that it bears as part of the overall picture. So that's how my summer is going. How about you folks? How's it going? Are you all making perfect puzzles with all the pieces? Are you having amazing family adventures free of meltdowns and competing schedules or illnesses or overtime at work? It seems like now more than ever, we need to revisit the fruit of the Spirit and take a closer look at what it means to cultivate peace. So, today we are continuing our series on the fruit of the Spirit as outlined in Paul's letter to the church in Galatia. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23 reads, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Our complementary text that was read today was read from Jesus' core teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, where he identifies another list, which includes these words: "God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God." Pastor Stephanie started our sermon series on this core text in Galatians by looking at one fruit every week. And over the next 3 weeks, we will finish the series with peace, joy, and love. And today we're going to dig into peace. Now, don't get too comfortable. On the surface, it seems like Pastor Stephanie gave me the lovely soft fruit, peace, joy, love. However, once we begin to explore peace together today, I think that we will find that this peace fruit is quite tough. Peace doesn't come easy. Imagine a fruit with a tougher skin, something that is unbelievably sweet, but comes at a cost. So let's begin with the big picture of God's design for peace. God's design for peace is shalom. The word Paul specifically uses in Galatians 5 is arerne, which is the Greek word for the word shalom. Shalom is this beautiful Hebraic vision for wholeness and completion in all relationships and in all of creation. God's peace, his design for flourishing in creation, is so much more than a simple definition of a Hebrew word. It is more a concept and a deeply formative one that has helped God's people to understand more about who God is as the creator of peace and the giver of peace. Tim Mackey teaches this wholeness concept of shalom by saying that it is similar to a large stone that is not cut or cracked, or that shalom is like a large wall with no gaps or weaknesses. I love Tim Mackey's description of shalom as a wall with no gaps that is complete and whole, fortified and protected. Unlike my puzzle, where there are pieces missing and a sharp-beaked attacker who deliberately defaced its beatific vision. As Pastor Stephanie has been teaching us throughout this sermon series, the fruit of the Spirit are actually characteristics of God himself. And each fruit is only seen and known when it is demonstrated in community. In the same way, shalom is not about individual effort. It is deeply communal, as it is God's design for community peace, community restoration, and community healing. Before we dig much deeper into our understanding of the fruit of peace this morning, I want us to identify two tripping points. Notice I'm not saying tipping points. I'm saying tripping points, because these are things that I think we trip over in our understanding of what biblical peace really is. So tripping point number one is believing how our culture defines peace is how God defines peace. Biblical peace is not an individualistic endeavor, and we are immersed in a culture that tells us that it is. The biblical view of peace is not an existential search for peace of mind or strictly restoring a mind-body connection for a greater sense of wholeness. Biblical peace is not an emptying of self as a way to become less human and become more divine. Biblical peace is not something confined within one's psyche. Biblical peace is a way of life. The way of peace is seen throughout the scriptures as a goal for God's people and those who follow Jesus. So that's tripping point one. Tripping point number two is believing that we are able to create peace within ourselves and for others by our own efforts. Phil Kennison, in his book Life on the Vine, which Pastor Stephanie has referenced throughout the series, argues here that establishing and sustaining wholeness in all relationships is not an easy thing. To be in right relationship with God and everyone else, one must consistently do what is right, what God desires, and what God requires. This is why Scripture again and again connects peace with righteousness. In Isaiah chapter 60, verses 17, 18, and 21, we read this prophecy from God to his people, and I'm going to read it for us. So hear this word of God. God says, "I will appoint peace as your overseer and righteousness as your taskmaster. Violence shall no more be heard in your land, devastation or destruction within your borders. You shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. Your people shall possess the land forever. They are the shoot that I planted, the work of my hands, so that I might be glorified. So what are we hearing here? God is appointing peace as our overseer. So peace is a gift that is given for us. It is described as a small shoot that God planted, and it is defined as the work of his hands. It's the work of his hands so that he would be glorified in bringing peace to our doors. Somehow we forget this. I think some of us know this. We know that peace is not something contrived or conjured. It is not self-made. And yet our culture begs us to lean into our own understanding and forget what God is speaking to his people. God is our provider, and he has given us his peace. Jesus launches the Kingdom Initiative by powerfully demonstrating God's covenant gift of peace through his teaching and healing ministry. Jesus brought wholeness into the lives of all those who are weak and broken. And we see this in his teaching and preaching in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus went to the ones who believed that there was nothing good inside of them, nothing worth saving or redeeming. Jesus embodies God's message that in Jesus there is a way to be reconciled. There's a way to know his peace. Jesus taught in his Sermon on the Mount that God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. So in addition to the gift of peace that we find in Jesus, if we do this work of peacemaking and join Jesus in bringing shalom to the most vulnerable among us, we will be called children of God. Our belonging is made possible in Jesus and through his saving, and has brought us peace. The prophet Isaiah told God's people that one day a king would come, a prince of shalom, who would bring that deep sense of wholeness, rightness, and completion. The prophet Isaiah promises in Scripture that when this Prince of Peace, or Prince of Shalom, comes, there will be no end to God's design for peace. Shalom will reign, and all wrong things will be made right, and all broken things will be restored. We see in Jesus the fulfillment of his promise in Scripture, the fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah, the new king who will reign with righteousness and justice and will begin a new kingdom and teach us a new way. Jesus is our Prince of Peace. He is the gift given for us. Jesus embodies peace within himself so that he himself becomes our peace. As Paul writes in his letter to the Colossians, he says these words, "For it is Jesus, all the fullness of God, was pleased to dwell, and through him, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross." Paul insists that Jesus has shown us a new way through his physical body. He has made a way for us to reconcile with God through the cross, bringing peace between God and us. But this reconciliation is not only between God and us. It is meant to reconcile us with our brothers and sisters, our neighbors and our enemies, and restore our relationship with all of creation. This beautiful Hebraic vision of shalom is so much bigger and complex than we can ever comprehend. Jesus is our Prince of Peace, and through his teaching and healing ministry that he began bringing peace and restoration to all who were lost. Paul continues to reveal to us and show us who Jesus is as our Prince of Peace later on in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 to 18. And this is where Paul says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body reconcile both of them to God, through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. And so God in Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is birthing a new humanity in us. Do you see it? Jesus is our peace. He has made the way for us to be reconciled. He has destroyed the wall of hostility between us and our enemies. Paul is writing to the Ephesians in that letter specifically about the animosity between Jews and Gentiles, but this message is also for us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, we find that Jesus himself is our peace. He is our shalom. He is the whole complete human, and he gives his life for us as a gift so we will know God's peace. Knowing all of this truth from Scripture, we are now called to cultivate peace, to cultivate this fruit of peace. This fruit of the Spirit means that we are image bearers. We are showing who we are and who Jesus is by cultivating peace in our everyday lives. Keeping our unity through the bond of peace means cultivating the fruit of humility and long-suffering in love, participating in the life of Jesus who reconciled all things through his death and resurrection. Peace is not the absence of conflict, and it means taking what is broken and restoring it to wholeness, our lives, our relationships, or the systems where we see that are very much in need of Jesus. I started out by saying that cultivating peace is difficult. This is not an easy fruit. And so I want to acknowledge that in peacemaking and trying to cultivate this fruit, there is an opportunity for us to embrace a fallow season. During my summer break of the last 3 weeks, I did more than get annoyed by puzzles. I made intentional time to connect with some of my friends. Some friends who I haven't seen in years, and one friend I haven't seen in over a decade. These opportunities came up quite unexpectedly, and they actually created an opportunity for peacemaking, for cultivating this fruit of peace. And I want to share a little bit of that story with you here today. This is a friend of mine who we've been friends for years, and then we didn't speak for a decade. And I don't know if that is familiar for you, if you've ever experienced anything like that, but it is devastating. And this is a person of faith and a person that I love dearly. And it was through a series of circumstances and misunderstandings. We've had conversation. We tried to work it out. We did the work of peacemaking. We listened. We listened hard. And we just had this impasse. And this is where I think we need to remember that the gift of peace that comes through Jesus is made powerful through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because this opportunity to connect with my friend 2 weeks ago was not any of my own doing. It was nothing I could do in my own strength. It was not in my own effort. It was not even the phone call that I made. It was a phone call that she made. And she was surprised as well. She was surprised that she called me. She felt the Spirit was moving her to connect again. And so we went for coffee. And part of our agreement in our peacemaking on that day was to not revisit the wounds of the past, to stop trying to solve that puzzle, to stop trying to pick apart at all of the attempts over the years to scab and heal. And that felt very contrary to me in terms of wanting to dig it out and find out what the original problem was and try to resolve it. But it was definitely humbling and I think humiliating and very much a learning process for me to see what peacemaking actually involves. And I'm glad that we didn't revisit the old wounds, and I'm glad that we decided to start fresh where we are in this day. And I can say that we had a great conversation that we were able to make peace in this moment and to find ways to move forward as friends. And I wanted to share that story with you because I'm not sure if there is any brokenness in your life, any brokenness in your relational friendships, maybe with your spouse, with your coworker, or just friends. I know that for some of you, talking about making peace right now, this morning, is the last thing that you want to talk about. Making peace is not your top priority. And so I want to offer you this by way of my experience, that you can embrace a fallow season. If peacemaking is not something that you are able to do with another person or within a system, maybe there's a toxic system that you are a part of or your workplace is difficult, I think that we need to find spaces and time to rest, to take a moment and to disengage. And so I just want to say that to you, that it's possible to embrace a fallow season in our peacemaking. So there may be times when our peacemaking is no longer fruitful, times when we need rest, when the fight to engage is too much, when lingering and listening and long suffering has gone on long enough. And peacemaking, in the way that Jesus calls us to do it, is both a personal commitment and community work. We're not meant to do this work alone. Jesus made himself out to be peace. He made peace within his body and reconciled us to God and for one another. Jesus is our Prince of Peace, and he gave us the Holy Spirit so we can learn to cultivate peace in relationship with God, in relationship with others and all of creation. So there will be times when we find ourselves in a fallow season. It's just not the time for us to make peace. So I offer this caveat that stands well within the wisdom literature of Scripture, as we read in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 9, and I'm going to read it for us. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. And what do workers gain for their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race, and he has made everything beautiful in its time. Did you catch that? God's design for shalom is to make everything beautiful in its time. He is faithful, and he will do it. So here is the challenge that I have for us today. And today it's personal because peacemaking is personal. It requires our whole selves, our whole body, our whole mind, our whole spirit to engage. And the challenge I have for you today is to learn to become an everyday peacemaker. And this is a practice that we can all do as we are followers of Jesus, becoming an everyday peacemaker. So I have some questions for you, and I want you to sit with this as you see each question appear on screen. And the first question is this: how are you experiencing fragility in your relationships right now? And the second question is, what could you be doing as a peacemaker to tend to this fragility and disruption? I want to invite those of you who are more reflective to maybe look at the words on the screen or close your eyes for a moment and maybe consider saying a prayer for the relationship that you want Jesus to enter into. If you need Jesus, if you need his peace to reconcile with someone today, and I hope that you'll be able to close your eyes and pray for your next step. And while those of us who are reflective are doing that, I want to send an invitation to those of you who are more active in how you respond. And so for those of you who are looking at these questions on the screen, I want you to take out your cell phone. Yep, I said it. You have permission to take out your cell phone if you need an active way to respond. If there is a person on your mind or your heart right now as you look at these questions that you know that you need to make peace with, I'm going to invite you to just send a simple text message right now in the middle of church to that person so that you can take action on that next step of peacemaking. And it could be something simple. It could be something like, do you have time to talk later today? Or do you have time to meet with me this week? I invite you to put that message in your own words, but take an active step today in becoming an everyday peacemaker. And I invite all of us to join Jesus in this deeply formative work of peace. As you respond to this, I'm going to pray for us. God of peace, we thank you for the way that you speak to us by the power of your Holy Spirit, for how you move within us, for how you speak to our minds and speak to our hearts, and how you are stirring in us now to cultivate this fruit of peace. I pray for those of us who are wrestling with a name, a face, a person, a situation, a workplace, something that is toxic, something that is broken, something that needs you, God. I pray that you would remind us, even now, Jesus, that you are our peace and that you have been given to us as peace, that you have made a way for us to become peacemakers. As we pray for the people that come to mind and as we consider sending a text message to someone that we know we need to do the hard work with, I pray for your blessing on your children, God. I pray that your presence would go and be with your people today as they do this hard, hard work of making peace. Because making peace makes us more like you. And God, we thank you for this peacemaking work that you had started and that you invite us to join you in. Give us courage. Help us to stay curious. Help us to stay engaged until we can't. And honor us if we need a fallow season. We pray this in your name. Amen.